He found the release and got the compartment open. Inside was an unfamiliarly labeled metal case with the very familiar look of a survival kit to it.
"I hope we're not going to have to walk the whole way back," he commented, pulling the bag out and dropping out the hatchway.
"I won't," she countered.
She seemed to hesitate just a little before following him down to the ground.
"Whether you make the trip back at all is another question."
He locked gazes with her.
"Finishing what you started with this?"
he asked, nodding at his wrecked ship. She snorted.
"Listen, buddy boy, it was you who took us down, not me. My only mistake was being stupid enough to be sitting too close to your tail when you hit the trees. Put the bag down and get the droid out of there."
Luke did as he was told. By the time R2 was down beside him, she had the survival kit's lid open and was fiddling one-handed with something inside.
"Just stay right there," she told him, "and keep your hands where I can see them."
She paused, cocking her head slightly to the side as if listening. A moment later, in the distance, Luke could hear the faint sound of an approaching ship.
"Sounds like our ride back is already on the way," Mara said. "I want you and the droid..."
She stopped in mid-sentence, her eyes going strangely unfocused, her throat tight with concentration. Luke frowned, eyes and ears searching for the problem. Abruptly, she slammed the survival kit lid shut and scooped it up.
"Move!"
she snapped, gesturing away from the wrecked fighters. With her blaster hand, she picked up the flat box she'd been carrying and wedged it under her left arm.
"Into the trees, both of you! I said move!"
There was something in her voice, command or urgency, or both, that stifled argument or even question. Within a handful of seconds, Luke and R2 were under cover of the nearest trees.
"Farther in!" she ordered. "Come on, move it!"
Belatedly, it occurred to Luke that this might all be some macabre joke, that all Mara really wanted was to shoot him in the back and be able to claim afterward that he'd been running away. But she was right behind him, close enough that he could hear her breathing and occasionally feel the tip of her blaster as it brushed his back. They made it perhaps 10 meters farther in. Luke leaned down to help R2 across a particularly wide route.
"Far enough!" Mara hissed in his ear. "Hide the droid and then hit dirt!"
Luke got R2 over the route and behind a tree, and as he dropped down beside Mara, he suddenly understood. Hanging in midair over the wrecked fighters, rotating slowly like a hovering raptor searching for prey, was an Imperial shuttle. A small motion caught the corner of his eye, and he turned his head to look directly into the muzzle of Mara's blaster.
"Not a move,"
she whispered, her breath warm on his cheek.
"Not a sound."
He nodded, understanding, and turned back to watch the shuttle. Mara slid her arm over his shoulders, pressed her blaster into the hinge of his jaw, and did the same. The shuttle finished its circle and settled gingerly to the torn-up ground between the ruined fighters. Even before it was completely down, the ramp dropped and began disgorging stormtroopers. Luke watched as they split up and headed off to search the two ships, the strangeness of the whole situation adding an unreal tinge to the scene. There, less than 20 meters away, was Mara's golden opportunity to turn him over to the Imperials. And yet here they both lay, hiding behind a tree root and trying not to breathe too loudly. Had she suddenly changed her mind? Or was it simply that she didn't want any witnesses nearby when she killed him? In which case, Luke realized abruptly, his best chance might actually be to find some way of surrendering to the stormtroopers. Once away from this planet, with the Force as his ally again, he would at least have a fighting chance. If he could just find a way to distract Mara long enough to get rid of her blaster. Lying pressed against his side, her arms slung across his shoulders. She must have sensed the sudden tensing of muscles.
"Whatever you're thinking about trying, don't,"
she breathed in his ear, digging her blaster a little harder into his skin.
"I can easily claim you were holding me prisoner out here and that I managed to snatch the blaster away from you."